Many of the conversations surrounding opioid drug use have centered on its addictive qualities and the growing number of overdoses attributed to drugs like OxyContin, fentanyl, and heroin. The alarm has led the CDC to issue new prescribing guidelines, and some doctors have started to prescribe these painkillers less frequently, if at all, and some pharmacies have even refused to fill prescriptions. But our next guest says that the overcorrection hurts people living with chronic pain who have relied on opioids as part of their pain management plans for years. Kate Nicholson is a civil rights attorney and a chronic pain awareness advocate. Kate, welcome to Central Time.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Can you first tell us a little bit about your own personal experience dealing with chronic pain?
Sure. I started to have chronic pain in the 1990s. I was sitting at my desk one day working at the Department of Justice when my back started to burn really badly. And pretty quickly, my body seized and knocked me to the floor. And I really couldn't sit or stand or walk for more than very short distances with a walker for about 20 years after that. Turned out that it was related to a surgical injury where they had cut a major nerve plexus, the lumbosacral plexus in my spinal cord. And when the nerves repaired, scar tissue and neuromas formed and really damaged things for me. So I ended up having to learn to adapt to that condition and continue to work and function. And I credit proper pain management. I was treated at multidisciplinary pain clinics that were still widely available in the 1990s. And part of that included treatment with opioid analgesics in addition to other integrated treatments. I credit that appropriate treatment with allowing me to continue to work and function despite those challenges.
And now you've got an experience. I've heard from other people that with this kind of chronic pain, excruciating pain in many cases, day-to-day coping would be next to impossible without some opioid medications. This is a story you've heard not just from yourself, right, but from others.
Absolutely. I especially since I did a TED Talk and it's gone live and I've written some articles, I hear from people almost every day. In fact, I just heard from someone last night on my website who had read my article on the clampdown and who called to sort of thank me for affirming that it can be necessary because his brother had just passed away from either, they weren't clear yet whether it was suicide or an overdose, but he had broken his back really badly. He had taken opioids for years and in the last year had been taken off of them and was really struggling with suicidal ideation and the need to get some sort of pain relief. So opioids can be necessary and appropriate for some patients. Even some patients with chronic pain, they were certainly too liberally prescribed for a long time for all kinds of pain, and that created some problems that we see today. But the corrective right now, you know, we've gone sort of from one really broad pendulum swing to another, and it's claiming victims on both sides of that swing. And today, a lot of the victims are people in serious pain who are being denied appropriate medication.
Kate Nicholson is with us, civil rights attorney, chronic pain awareness advocate. She says in the midst of concerns over opioid addiction, there's been an overreaction. It's keeping chronic pain patients from getting medications they need. Kate, you talked about that clampdown. And where is this coming from? Is this from law enforcement? Is this from individual doctors or pharmacists worried that, hey, am I contributing to this opioid epidemic?
I think it's coming from a lot of things. I mean, certainly a lot of the media coverage has focused on prescribing and the role of prescribing, and in a way that I think is confusing to people. The data on all of these things, opioid mortality, isn't great, but what we do know from a lot of the data is that most of the people who misuse opioids, which is the behavior that's most likely to lead to addiction or overdose, were not given them under the care of a doctor. All of our studies on drug and alcohol use, national surveys, show that most of those people bought them on the street or took them from medicine cabinets. So there's this confusion that people who are under the supervision of a doctor are the people who are dying on the streets. There's also confusion of even among clinicians about the difference between dependence and addiction. Anyone who takes opioids for a period of time is likely to become dependent, and that really means that if you take someone off abruptly, they're going to have side effects. Something like that can happen with other kinds of medication as well, like beta blockers or antidepressants, but that's very different from addiction, which is the sort of compulsive use of a substance despite negative life consequences. appropriate medical use is just the opposite. It's use on a set schedule at a set dose under a doctor's supervision with, if it's used appropriately, with life-restoring consequences. And the FDA director, though, Scott Gottlieb, just had to come out publicly very recently and explain the difference between those things, and explain that just because someone's taking an opioid for pain and develops dependence, or because someone is taking an opioid for an opioid use disorder for with medication-assisted treatment, that does not mean that they are addicted. That is not a dangerous thing. They're taking medication like any other person is taking medication appropriately. But there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of inflammation in the media. And then recently, there have been a lot of laws and mandatory policies that have come out. Some of them stem from guidance that came out in 2016 that was issued by the CDC. And much of what is in the CDC's guidelines is quite well accepted by everyone, that opioids should be used not as a first line of treatment or a second line of treatment, that they should be used for the shortest period of time at the lowest appropriate, you know, possible dose. And I think most people really do agree with that. There were guidelines issued for primary care physicians, not for specialists, and again, were issued as guidance. But there were a few provisions in those guidelines that have been, in the minds of many, weaponized or turned into laws and mandatory policies. Most of the state legislatures have adopted parts of the guidelines as laws, and those guidelines were not model legislation. They were not intended to become legislation. A lot of major pharmacy companies like Walgreens and CVS have adopted policies that are providing oversight and denying people fills for opioids at a certain dosage or for a certain duration. Insurers are refusing to cover opioids. Some state Medicaid programs are also doing that at a certain dose or for a certain duration. And so there are just all of these levels of oversight. And in addition to that, you have sort of drug enforcement agency and doctors who are being sort of targeted because of the dosages that they prescribe. In fact, I think that just happened in Wisconsin. I saw a press release from the Department of Justice that letters had been sent, although I haven't seen the letters themselves, but I saw the press release, that letters had been sent to physicians who are prescribing at a certain dose range, warning them against doing so. So there are all of these layers of oversight right now that are really having a chilling effect, and the result is that people are being tapered off of their opioids. They're being abandoned in cure altogether. A lot of people with chronic pain, even those who don't use opioids, aren't able to find doctors who are willing to treat them at all. You know, the American Medical Association recently came out against this sort of use of or misuse of the CDC guideline. They opened their interim meeting with a conversation. One of the physicians, the president of the AMA, is a cancer doctor, and she told the story of one of her patients who had prostate cancer that had spread to his bones and was in severe pain. She had prescribed an opioid for him for that pain. He went to try and fill it at the pharmacy. Pharmacy denied it, accused him of being a drug seeker. And so he went home feeling very ashamed and then tried to kill himself. Mm. So it is a serious problem. It's a real problem. And we really need to find a way to moderate this conversation, so that we are not over-prescribing, but we're not under-prescribing either.
And Kate, do you see a stigma now being attached to pain patients?
Absolutely. I mean, there has always been a stigma, I think, attached to pain. A lot of people don't really understand the difference between acute pain and chronic pain. You know, most of us experience acute pain, and that's a normal body function that warns us that something is wrong, and that we need to seek medical attention or rest. But when pain becomes chronic, it actually sort of can change from being protective to damaging the body. People with, you know, chronic pain have a lower lifespan, significantly higher rates of disability, impaired quality of life. In fact, there was a study that showed that the quality of life of someone in moderate to severe persistent pain is equal to someone who is dying of cancer. So I think there are a lot of misperceptions about pain. We have historic ideas that pain should be borne, that it's transformative, that it's good for us. It's come from our religious history. In fact, we didn't use anesthesia widely for a long time for that reason. So there are already a lot of stigmas and misunderstandings about pain, and in this current crisis, those have just become very exaggerated. Pain patients are seen as drug seekers and liabilities, really. I mean, that's really what's happening with physicians. Not like they want to drop their patients, but they're concerned about liability. And in some senses, pain patients are also seen as sort of the residue of the shame of overprescribing and the deaths that we see. So, yes, I'm seeing a huge increase in stigma, and there's the good medical evidence that stigma can really disproportionately impact care and overall health as well.
We'll leave it there for now. Kate, thanks for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.
We've been talking to Kate Nicholson, civil rights attorney and a chronic pain awareness advocate. She shared her own experience and that of others. She says a crackdown on opioids is hurting people suffering from chronic pain. You can follow our continuing coverage here on Central Time on the Ideas Network and WPR News Team. You can find all of that over at WPR.org. Coming up in just a bit, fewer students in Wisconsin, college students, are going into the teaching profession, and more teachers are leaving the field. We'll talk with a WPR reporter about what's driving that trend, how schools are trying to keep up and keep teachers in the classrooms, and a new plan, a response from the UW system trying to bring more people into the teaching profession. You can share your own experiences if you're a teacher yourself, a parent watching a teacher shortage at your school, if you work in a school system. Tell us what you're seeing as far as people going into and or leaving the teaching profession, and whether your district is having trouble keeping teachers on the job. You can email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us @CentralTimeWPR.